in 1943 and 44.
In fact, it's funny, he was serving the 12 Devons in Devon, you know, and one of them, he saw England's worst soldier. Then look what he did. I don't know if the RSM victimised him. He was dark shaven. And month after mate, he was always on jail because, you know, like punishment, 28 days or 7 days, for no reason at all. And one day I said, not you again, Mac. His name is Macalatin. Again, Mac, I said, what have you been up to this time? He said, I don't know, I've done nothing wrong. And it's a situation. He's always been like, as if he's being victimised by the RSM, you know. But at the finish, it turned out he had to have a court-martial. He had to sort it out, you know, in a proper manner. And it finished up that he finished up having a, you know, court-martial. And after that, when I arrived home from abroad, I had to go down to Devon, Exeter. The first person I met was this old RSM. He said, how long have you been? I said, just arrived home, you know. He said, it's amazing, he said. Did you know Wiggy Bennett? Yeah, I said, he's still out there. Actually, Wiggy Bennett, the one I'm talking about, was, he played for Tottenham. He probably remembers a footballer inside, he played for Tottenham, and he played for Chelsea. And it came out just like that. I said, no, he's still out there. Because he was such a good footballer, he played for England, you know, when he was Tottenham player. And he mentioned about his name. He went and said, where's Wiggy Bennett? I said, he's still out there. You know, he didn't have enough service abroad at the time. But it's just one of those situations. It's uncanny, really, you think about it. And played for Tottenham, Chelsea, West Ham, I think they were. But it's things like that, it sticks in your mind, you know.
And who were you serving with? Who were you serving with in the signals?
I was always in the signals. Once I joined the 1st Battalion, you know, we did service in Ceylon. And then they asked me, when I joined the signals, I said, by all means, you know, I was interested. In no time, I took it like a duct tape to water sort of thing. Morse code, everything. And I found it very interesting, you know.
So how many people were you actually within the signals? Were you the signals platoon or...?
Signal platoon, yes. But I was always attached to different companies, like D Company. Mainly the D Company, funny enough, and they're the ones that put the attack on Nippon Hill, you know, D Company.
So where did you move from when you'd been at Harvest Home? Did you move down to Imphal?
No, we a bit clearer it was in the jungle, just outside Tamu, which is the capital of, you know, Assam. On the borders of Assam and Burma, you see. And we used to do patrols right down to the Chinwin, about 30 miles, as you imagine, from Harvest Home in Tamu to the Chinwin. And that's where I remember the Christmas time. I spent 1943 Christmas down on the Chinwin, looking across the river Chinwin, you know. And funny enough, I remember one occasion at Christmas time, the head man of the village where we were, Oktong or Sitong, he came, he was so friendly, and he said, do you mind if everybody puts a rupee note? He came with a big paper boat, homemade, and he said, I'd like to ask the soldiers if they'd like to contribute. So everybody chips in with like a rupee note, worth about 1 and 6 in them days, but they all chipped in, and next minute, he pinned all the notes, you know, rupee notes, on this paper boat. He couldn't believe it. Next minute, he's carrying it down to the River Chinwin, let it sail down the river. He said, if anybody touches that, they're going to have bad luck. I said, what's the idea of this boat? He said, it's give us, you know, help the rain for the crops, you know. And I said, I can remember him taking this boat down to the chimney, because I was on there, like, and it just went down, you know. And he said, anybody touches that will have bad luck. So I thought, well, if anybody touches, they're going to be well off. Every man put a rupee note on it, pinned it on the boat. It's unbelievable. The stories. He said, it's, we pray for rain for the crops. That's all it was. That's one little incident, you know.
And how? What was the strength of the patrols that you used to go out on?
No more than about six or seven, like an ordinary patrol. And then they had a company patrol, the whole of the B company it was. They went across the Chinwin on a patrol, you know. Surveying the country. This is just prior to the Japanese invading, you know. So when they did invade, they invaded several points on the Chinwin River, and orders came through that we had to make hasty retreat because we were overwhelmed, you know, in numbers such. There's only the company down on the River Chinwin in 1943, and the orders came through that we got to move back, you know, about 30, 50 miles, something like that. And that's when we finished up near Infell, you know. And I always remember it so well. The food we ate, you know, rations are very poor in them days, 1943, because with the European War, all the supplies of it were going to Europe rather than in Burma. And I remember old Mike and Slim, you know, his father, General Slim, Bill Slim. He said, well, we've got to make do and mend, even it means boot laces to tie your rafts together on bamboo rafts, you know. And this occasion, we went on this patrol, and everybody had to carry a bamboo pole. That was like to make rafts across the Chinwin. We made our own raft, you see. And this is what it was. It's unbelievable, really.
Was that on one of the patrols?
One of the patrols, yeah. Often they used to send a section, you know, but not a dozen men even, you know. It's just a patrol to see what's going on. And information used to come back. The Japs have arrived at such and such a village. They're getting nearer to us, like, but on the other side of the River Chinwin.
So would you get information from the local population?
Oh, yes, yeah. We always found them very friendly, funny enough. Although, mainly during the old campaign in Burma, on the retreat, like from when the Salween River, more or less like on the borders of Thailand and Burma, you know, we used to send patrols across and get information, you know.
Were these Burmese people or were they hill tribes you were dealing with?
They were Burmese down on the River Chinwin, but hill tribes were mainly at Kohima, you know, like the Kachins, Naga Hills. There were tribes there, you know, more near to Kohima.
But you were dealing with Burmese civilians on the Chinmen.
Yeah, on the Chinmen. Sitong and Ok Tong, they're from two villages I always well remember, you know. And as I say, we spent the Christmas 1943 down there.
And then you pulled back to Imphal. What happened when you pulled back to Imphal?
Made a retreat right back to Imphal. And luckily enough, in the meantime, I was getting all the coolies, Indians, you know, like natives, preparing defences. We were very fortunate. The time we moved back to Imphal, all Nippon Hill, like all that area, the trenches are all done, really dug. And we stepped right into it, you know. We were very fortunate to go into a position, everything's laid on, sort of thing. And we defended, you know, the hills, a series of hills like Scraggy, oh dear, Crete, named like Malta, Gibraltar, Scraggy, and on the end of Scraggy there's a little pimple, and it was named after our signals officer, Benny Lynch. They called it Lynch's Pimple. He made a name for himself. He's such a popular officer. Benny, we used to call him Benny Lynch. That wasn't his surname, it was Jimmy Lynch, his actual name. But we called him Benny Lynch after him. In him though, he's a boxer, you know, he's under his name, but Benny Lynch is a good boxer, you know, in England. And everybody called him Benny. And as I say, this track, it was just a mountain track. It wasn't a metal road as such, not until later, you know. And we landed at this place, Tamu, and I named this big clearing in the jungle after our battalion commander, Major D. Harvest.
That's where you'd been earlier on, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tamu.
So had you returned back there when you returned back to Old Imphal?
Yeah, we went back to Tamu, and as I say, all the defences were already prepared by all thousands of coolies. I don't know who was in charge of it, but everything was ready for us, you know. We straight ahead and we defended it, you know.
Were they good positions?
Oh, good positions, yeah. Very good.
So had you seen anything yet of the Japanese?
One or two patrols did meet them, but very rare. Very rare. I remember down at Ok Tong, there was a, right opposite, on the other bank of the Chinmen, there was a man who served in Burma in peacetime. He involved looking after elephants. And he said, if any man captures the Japanese, I'll give him 1,000 rupees. That's what this gentleman, you know, he served in Burma prior to the war.
Was this Elephant Bill?
It could be. Could be. And I remember him saying, the first man who captures the Japanese will have 1,000 rupees. That was his own, you know.
What did you think about that?
Well, you think of it, them days are a lot of money, I suppose. Rupee was about 1 to 6, so you know, think of 1,000 1 to 6s. But I can remember it so well that first Christmas in, you know, in Burma, like SN in Burma. And
but you got back to Imphal and you're in the prepared positions. Yes, was this about March, February or March? 44?
I think it was March. Yes, it was March. And we took that position on Scraggy and places like that. And April the 11th, always remember the name, the date, The Devons were ordered to make an attack on Nippon Hill. It was held by the Japs, you know. And I'll just see it now. We was up on Scraggy, and I was in touch with the company by, you know, radio and wireless, you know, the 48 sets. And I could see everything. Being attached to Battalion HQ, Major D. Harvis, I was standing next to him, and another officer named Bill Street. He was the second in command, and he was a right character. He had a big bushy moustache, you know. And suddenly, during the phase of battle, this Major Street said, "I'm going to go over there and see what the hold up is." He made his way round the track, like Scraggy, Lynch's Pimple, and onto Crete, which is one side of the road, and the other side was a deep ravine, like where Nippon Hill, Nippon Hill stood out, you know, so prominent. And he got there, and we could see, like, the distance wasn't that far, 100 yards, and you could see exactly what was going on in Nippon Hill. And suddenly, D Company put in the attack. Must have been about 10 o'clock in the morning, I suppose. And suddenly they were stopped. The Japanese were so well camouflaged on Nippon. It caught Devons by surprise. They built these foxholes, and they linked up with one another, the foxholes, and that was the cause of it. The Japs had seen what was happening, and a few grenades came over, and we had one or two casualties. The first one was the company commander of D Company, Major Dean, Dixie Dean we used to call him, you know. He was the first casualty officer. And with that, Major Street, he said, "I'm going over there to see what's going on." What the hold up was, you see. It's through the Devons got a foothold on the hill, and suddenly they were stopped. We could see everything going on, you know. Major Street goes up round there, and he finished up on top of the jet bunkers. He was throwing grenades down these foxholes. He was sitting on one of the foxholes, you know. And he was throwing grenades at the Japs, you know. Every now and again, the Japs would, I don't know if they surrendered or what. But he was tossing grenades down, like, you know. That's one incident I always remember.
And you were watching that from Scraggy?
Scraggy, yes, yes. It's been in that about 100 yards, or if that, you know, as the country was. And the roads was all like mud, and every time it rained, it was just one mess of mud, you know. And that's one incident, oh, we'll always remember that. And the Japs putting an attack on Scraggy, Lynch's Pimple, the bottom of Scraggy. And
was this after the attack on your Devon's attack on Nippon Hill?
Yes. Just soon after, you know. And I got transferred to Crete, the hill called Crete West. And the Gurkhas attacked that night, well, the screams, you know, you didn't know who was screaming, whether the Japs or the Gurkhas. The Gurkhas did their best, but the Japs are so well dug in, the machine guns, you know, the Gurkhas did their best, that's all we could say, you know. And from then on, Jeps brought their reinforcements up. Because in the meantime, we were being shelled every day by the 105s and 72, the Jap artillery, you know. You could tell the difference. When you hear a shell coming over, you could tell the difference between a 105 and a 72, I think, you know, millimetres, by the noise. And you used to get down, you know. And it's unbelievable.
So did you, you had the Devons captured Nippon Hill?
No, this is, they captured it eventually. The D Company made the attack, and they got held up. Then A Company were in reserve, and they went round the back way, and they made an attack from the rear of Nippon Hill. And eventually they did capture it.
And then the Japanese attacked in force, you know, did they?
After that, about a week or so later, we handed over to the Frontier Force Rifles. They was in the same division as us, Indian Battalion, though. And of course, they had several skirmishes and they had to give way to the Japs. The Japs was, they're overwhelmed, you know. There's reinforcements. The Japanese are very strong with reinforcements and they had to make a move, you know. Only a force like that to give way, and the Japs got the hill back again. And that's when I, about that time, I moved from Scraggy onto Creek West, you know, and I say, and it was that time when the Japanese made an attack on Lindsay's Pimple. And I say, so we had the screams, you didn't know the Jap scream or the Gurkhas, but the Gurkhas got a foothold on it, but they couldn't take the hill. The Japanese so well dug in their positions, you know. And eventually, Japs brought the reinforcements up. And they made an attack on Creek, where we were, you see. Creek West, Creek East. And night after night, during the day, they'd be shelling us, been over the artillery, Japs. And this occasion, I know it so well. D Company on Creek couldn't receive any supply of ammunition. The Japs had cut the road off, you see. So Colonel Valentine, the D Company commander, he said, right, he said, we can't stay here. No ammunition coming forward. We might have to make a move. We got down that hill about 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody was told what to do. Carry the wounded down. And how the Japs never heard us, I should never know. We must have been so quiet then. We crept down this hill that night, and it's unbelievable. How the Japs never heard us. And yeah, everybody got down, and we stood up against the side of the road. Suddenly Major Valentine said, right, here we go, boys. And we all run in one, no, heap. We all run round to the road, get out of arm's way, because the Japs were so well dug in on Lynch's Pimple, and they must have heard us, and then they opened fire. Oh, as it was, we were very fortunate. I think we lost one man. I think he came from Bristol. I knew him very well. He's the only casualty we had, like. And
what happened to him?
Well, as I say, the Japs opened the machine guns. When they heard us make one run, the Japs must have heard, and then they opened fire, just firing at random. And we had one casualty through that. Getting down, we had to big way, you know. It's, we'd have only been up on that hill with a rifle and bayonet. No ammunition was coming through. And the, Colonel Valentine, the D Company commander, he said, right, nobody's stopped staying here. You know, we'd have been outmaneuvered. All we've had was rifle and bayonets, and the Japs had machine guns, you know. And
so what happened when you'd done your run? Where did you go to then?
We'd run right round it, as the track was, out of harm's way. The road, you know, wasn't a straight road. We managed to get round the first bend, and that's when we come in contact with the rest of the battalion. They was situated on Scrabby, you see. And, well, Major the Harvest, he couldn't believe it. In fact, he had tears in his eyes. He gave us up for lost. You know, he knew. We had no supplies come through, no ammunition. And during that, getting off this creek hill that night, how we did it, every man got down, and when Major Valentine said, right, we're going to run for this, and we did. As we run across the road, the Japs opened their machine gun, we're just running through it, you know. Fortunately, they were bad shots, the Japs. Mind you, that time of night, you know, it's understandable, I suppose, but when they finished up, we're one casualty killed.